All right, I think there's one more item under this agenda item, the ESSA. Thank you, Dr. Shaw.
Not leaving quite yet.
Oh, you're still here?
Oh, welcome back.
Oh, gosh, she really wants to go home.
We'll ask Mrs. Gable to come up, please, and talk about our ESSA timeline. And then we have one of our tasks already completed, and I hope you took a look at our draft report card.
Yeah.
And so we're going to roll out the timeline and the report card today.
Excellent.
Thank you for being here.
Yes.
Mrs. Gable?
Had surgery last week.
Thank you. Well, I'm good.
Well, thank you for being here.
I'm good to go.
I hope you're feeling good.
I'm good. Thanks. So good morning, everyone. Thank you for, again, looking at accountability. And I do want to recognize, as Dara did, there are a lot of folks that work very hard to put this presentation together, and you'll see a lot of hands in here. So we certainly appreciate all of their work. Today, we're going to take a look, as Dr. Salmon said, at the report card, the overview. This is what parents, stakeholders are going to see as a result of the accountability that you have worked on so hard for the past now almost 2 years, and that was approved in our plan. So what we're going to do is kind of pull that apart. We're going to look at three things today: an overview or the report card, kind of an explanation of the calculation, so you know what kind of calculation we're using for each of the indicators, and then finally the timeline. So first, what are parents going to see when they first take a look at a particular school's report card? So the first thing we wanted to say was give a kind of a picture, like a quick snapshot of where is your son or daughter school in, and where are they according to the accountability measures that we have looked at. And so here's what they're going to look at. And I do want to note that we are, one, looking at a sample high school report card. We could have selected an elementary or a middle, but we did select a high school report card because it gives us the five indicators that you have selected. And two, the data is basically, let's say, made up data. So the numbers and the calculations are used here for explanation. They're not based on absolutely a particular school and information like that. So if you look in the upper right-hand corner, you're going to see the stars that are highlighted in blue. This is a sample of a four-star school. This particular school was the 80th percentile, which is also a requirement. You can see there's made up words. Those words will all be filled in that language of how did my school do overall. And the indicators that are there are the five indicators that we have for a high school. The first thing we thought was really important is let's say to anyone looking at it, this is how many points you could get. So if we just look at academic achievement across the board, you could get 30. This particular school got 23. And then there are three other indicators that you're going to see. One is equity is all about how did our individual student groups do. Secondly, each school will have targets that they must meet. So there's going to be a question check in this sample that we give that the annual target was met. And improvement, we felt, and we've discussed it multiple times, is a school may meet targets or, in fact, may not meet targets, but the school did improve from the previous year. So they might not have met the target yet, but you would be very interested, a parent would be very interested, is the school moving towards that? So we wanted to give an indicator of, and you see that in the green check, of improvement. And so overall, here's that picture, that quick, where's the percentile? You see the stars at the bottom also. And as we've said multiple times, the number of earned points for this particular school, which is not the percentile, because then we have to put all the schools in the state together and determine that percentile. After you see that first flash of here's the school as a whole, we're then going to dive into each of the indicators. So the next one, of course, is the academic achievement indicator. And you're going to see the breakdown, as you see kind of in the center of your screen, each of the measures that are part of the indicator for academic achievement. We're going to give the specific results, the percentage of students in this example. For example, what percentage of students were proficient in mathematics, and that means that they scored a 4 or 5. That was a decision that was made. And if we calculate that, and based on the numbers, because as you know, our entire accountability system is really based on 100 points, this particular measure was worth 7.5 points, and this school got 6 out of 7.5 points based on the 68%. And we'll do that for each of those. We'll count up how many earned points. And then on the left, again, what we were trying to do each time was give numbers, give percentages, be true to, the accountability system. And on the left, you're going to see a visual. How far is that school moving? And, of course, after each year that we have the data, we'll see progression. As another example, these are just samples along the same line. What I wanted to highlight on this is we're asking a question. You know, if you're a parent and you're looking at accountability, you may not know, what question do I want to ask? Well, here's a simple question. Are students graduating on time? You've just spent a lot of time talking about Bridge and graduation. That's important data. You know that we have 4-year and 5-year cohort. Again, the look and feel is the same. Here are the numbers. Here's a visual. Let's go into each of the items. The next item, same thing, English language proficiency. As you're well aware, that is worth 10 points. This particular sample that we give, they got 68%, which the earned points were 6 out of 10. We do the same thing for post-secondary success. Again, we've talked about this, and those are two areas within that particular indicator, percent of ninth grade students on track and percent of students completing well-rounded. And the last one that we have as a sample is school quality or student success. This is the non-academic measure. We have 3 items here. Again, you can see the number of points. So the parent on the look and feel of the report card will be able to go through these items and hopefully get enough information and explanation that it will be clear and at the same time the data that's necessary. One of the items that you have certainly asked about and we have discussed is how is the school doing in academic versus non-academic measures? So we pulled those together, again, visually, with a list of the items. This is going back, pulling the data that we just went through in the past 5 slides. How many points did the school earn in academic data? Did they meet their targets? Are they improving? Yes, they met their targets, but maybe they're just holding and have not improved. How did my school do on the non-academic measures? So that's another way of taking a look at where we are.
I thought that they just had gibberish.
The next.
Okay, can I say, I think that's terrific that you. Sure. We were first talking about the fact that you have like Latin at
yeah,
the top.
We do.
Of,
yeah, we do. That's what we're focused in on. Like, sorry.
It's just a placeholder, right?
It we're is not a placeholder. Yeah, I said that while you were probably looking. We just have.
She said there's made up words.
There's made up words. I didn't say. Yes, like there are. Trash. And. That was really a test.
Trying
so
go,
really
we're trying to go for the look.
Yeah, did you see us?
I did. I was going to use proximity control and come over and stand behind you because you were not focusing on the teacher.
I just want to give you credit. The thing at the bottom, the second half of page 3 of 5, comparing the academic and non-academic measures, I think that's a nice visualization. So, like, in case there's a big disparity between school, within a school, we would know about it. The only thing that I would suggest thinking about is, given that the bases are different, the top one is out of 65, the other one's 35, maybe representing it in terms of percentages would be helpful. But that, I think, as a parent, I would want to know that information. That's a quick way of getting it.
Okay. Good. Good point. We appreciate that. We've looked at this so much. In fact, Dara and I were looking at it this morning, and I realized there's one error that, and said, how many times have we looked at this? But I appreciate really appreciate the new eyes, and we do appreciate you looking
at
this.
Well, we also want to thank our graphics department and communications department, because they have been working on this with all of the accountability folks for a very long time to get this very clean, nice-looking report card, which I am so pleased about. I want to compliment the whole whole group for that.
Yeah, you can tell this is not my work.
And we also we also limited the number of colors for Dr. Finn.
I'm sure he will appreciate it.
So now that I have your attention again. So then another piece that we said we would do, which goes back to the equity, is how are individual student groups doing? So again, through the website and going, a individual may be able to click on, and so now go back to achievement and say, okay, for each of the student groups, how did each student group do? Because it's not just important in the aggregate, but how did all students do? What did the school do for the particular student group? What was their target? Did they meet their target? Did they make improvement or not? We would do the same for each of the indicators, in this case, graduation. And then on page 12 in your slide is we would give in English and in clear language, what are some explanations? What does this mean? So that, you know, I do that all the time when I take a look at websites or go to another state. I look at their definitions. What are they using? And this is an important piece that someone could delve into, and that English and that language will be there. The second thing that we wanted to do today is just to talk about the computing indicators and how we're computing each of the indicators, not going way into the depths of the calculations, but explaining what the two basic scoring methods that we're using, and there are two. The U.S. Department of Education asked us about that and really had us do some further explanation and some clarity on what and how we were scoring each of the indicators. So you have the indicators that we've just been talking about, academic through school quality and student success. There's six here, whereas I've been talking about the previous five because we've added academic growth at the elementary and middle level. And the sample that we gave you was a high school measure. So you've got the six. You'll see down the right-hand column that they're either percent of a whole or assigned scores. So we wanted to show you what you will be seeing in further information and the clarity of what that means. So here's a sample. Here's a sample of the distribution for English Language Arts for Park actual elementary schools in 16-17. And so what you see across the bottom is what percentage of the students in this particular school or schools, in this particular LEA, got a 4 or 5, because that's the measure. Across the vertical axis is how many schools. So if, and then across the bottom in this sample, we are saying this measure, this indicator, is worth 5 points. So if it's worth 5 points and we have this spread, when we calculate the percent of the whole, we're going to say, well, where are all the students? And the sample you see at the bottom, you can see that 19 schools scored 55%. That means 55% of the students in these schools got a 4 or 5. So if you get 5 points, for this particular indicator, then 55% or 0.55 of 5 would give you 2.75 points for this indicator, for this measure. And that's a straight percentage. For any of the measures back here on computing indicator scores, where it says percent of the whole, that's how it's going to be calculated. What are the numbers? What's the measure? How many schools got that? What percentage? What is that indicator worth? It could be worth 7.5 points. It could be worth 5. It could be worth 10. And then you would give the school that percentage. So that's a sample of that. The process for assigning scores is a second process, and we've talked about this before. Why do you use assigning scores? You use assigning scores because if we take a look at certain indicators, they are clustered at one, either the high end, maybe the low, hopefully not the low end, but they're clustered. So if we did a percent of the whole, we would be giving points to a whole bunch of schools that may be performing very low, but as you go along, they would get points that really are not appropriate to be given. So it ensures what the law says. We have to be able to meaningfully differentiate measures and meaningfully differentiate schools so that not all schools get the same number of points. Because if you had this long spread and all the schools were clustered at the end and all the schools got 8 and 9 points, that's not meaningfully differentiating. It also allows us to set a standard so that if you did it the other way, the poor performance, as I've said, would get a large fraction. So we are going to, when we get this data with historical data and current data and research, we'll convene stakeholder groups to establish cut points and validate those scores. To ensure minimum percentage. So one of the things that we had to do with our plan that we put forward was to ensure that there would be a certain percentage of schools, at least at a minimum, in each of our cut points, in each of our categories. So it may look like this. We've talked about this. We've talked about chronic absenteeism before. We're taking a look at the positive students that are not chronically absent for 2016-17. This is actual data, and you can look at the spread. So notice on the right-hand side of your chart, of your table, where the percent of students not chronically absent are clustered to the right, let's say from even 75 to 100%. And so, therefore, we would use for this particular measure an assigned score so that, and again, we're making up numbers, chronic absenteeism based on our accountability measure is worth 15 points. So through a standard setting process, we would assign those 15 points. And in this model, again, made up, we didn't do standard setting on this. We are saying, for example, that if you scored anywhere from 0 to 75, the school would get 3 out of the possible 15 points. If you scored, and you can see it going up, 75 to about 85, 90, whatever it is there, 6 points, then 9 points, then 12 points, then 15 points. And that's what we are recommending, this process, for those areas that would cluster and would not, it really be fairness, and would not meaningfully differentiate, which is what the law says.
Can I just ask a question? Do you say this is real data that we're looking at here?
Yes.
So we have schools where, say, 98% of students are chronically absent.
No, not. And that's why
we
changed.
I'm looking at the.
Yes,
we do. Wow. So right. Back to the other. Yeah. Back to the original suggestion. I didn't know I was going to become an anti-absentee advocate today, but I think I am. Okay, just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, I understand. So you're saying, so why should they even get 3 points? I mean, I think those are the kinds of things. We would also take a look at the schools here. Mm-hmm. They may be an alternative school. It may be a very small school. We'll take a look at the data of schools that are down there.
Dr. Hardings?
Yes,
just
I see.
Brief question, so I'm sure I understand it. So you're going to set these. I guess the question is, are we setting the standard before we know what the data are? Mm-hmm. Or are we looking at the distribution of data and saying, okay, 6 points is here? You understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
are we
do.
Setting the standard first or looking at the data and then figuring out where the cuts should be?
What we're saying is we're going to take a look at the data. If we didn't know this data, we would say we'll do it as a percent of a whole, and then we would come up with numbers, and you would be really questioning, why did we do it that way? So we do need to see where it is, but it's also going to be based on research. It's also going to be based on best practice and looking at the data.
So the data will inform the standards that you set, but once you set them, that's what they are, and then year upon year upon year, those are what the standards are.
That's correct.
Okay.
Now, you can always come back. 4 or 5 years from now, we take a look. The data is really improving because that's what you want. You might go back and reset that standard, but yes, your answer.
I just wanted to be sure that we weren't going to say 75th percentile to 80th percentile is this many points, because then you end up with a sliding scale where you can,
right?
You know, things can move in ways that you don't like, and it is not reflected in the scores.
But that's correct.
Well, that's one reason.
Sounds like you manage that quite well.
A good point, because one of the things that I know some of the board members had a question about is why do we have to wait until August to set the stars? And Mary, you can answer that now.
Right.
For the same reason.
The same reason is, for example, setting the stars. One of the big pieces of data that we do not receive until June or July is park data. That's going to be a very, very – now, we have previous park data, but we want, given the most recent park data, given what this is based upon, we feel it's very important that you see that data so we can set the stars that way. And I think given all of the data points, we may not have all of the data points. I mean, we've already talked about that the survey is going to be basically field tested this year. There are certain things that we're moving forward on we may not have, but that park data is very, very critical that you would have, and so we'd need that.
Dr.
You have
Lee?
A question? Yes.
So looking at the absentee data, is there a reason not to further cut the three-pointer thing? Because somebody, I mean, a school that's got 70-some percent attendance is – seems characteristic, you know.
This is just a sample. The only thing that we have to guarantee.
We have to go through standard setting.
Yeah.
Okay.
The sample's at the bottom. So the data is real data, but the 3 points, 6 points, 9 points, 12 points is made up.
Oh, so you're going to look at the whole picture.
Yes, we absolutely will.
And I had another question about the targets.
Certainly.
Can we add an explanation of annual target, and is it possible to put the annual target? Because when I look at the data, I keep wondering, okay, didn't meet it. Well, gosh, what was the target?
Yeah, you'll have that.
Okay,
yeah,
so
that all that data, that's, you know, really a lot of data. But number one, we had to put our targets in our plan, and then the targets will be made for each school. So absolutely that data will be available.
But will it be on the report card?
It will be,
okay.
Yes.
And
yes.
Okay.
It won't be just a yes or no, they made it, and who knows what it is, but you will be able to click into the data and find out the targets.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then if there can be just an explanation on the thing about annual target, because it's not defined.
Sure.
That's a good point.
Yeah, my question, I think, is similar. But it goes a little bit further. Is I'd like to make sure that clicking to get more information about the subgroups is really, really clear and easy to understand for
Certainly.
Someone who doesn't understand, you know, our terminology. But in addition, what I don't see on here anywhere that I'd like to see up front and center is something about the achievement gap for the school. So is it getting better? Is it getting worse? What really is it? And I mean, I know you're kind of target met, not met is sort of dancing around that issue, but I would like to see that relayed much more clearly to the public.
Okay.
And I have a question as well.
Go ahead.
Okay, and it's on the same point that Dr. Guyton was making. On the, I guess it's page 10 of the presentation, it lists the annual targets and then met and not met. My question was, like, could you walk me through how, I guess, a school in, at least in this example, can have a majority of categories under the annual target not met, but then still have their all students category say that it's met? Like, how, I guess, would that work?
Certainly. So one, again, it's made up data, but it would depend on a number of students that were in the particular category. So if you had a category where the number of students, is very small and they met the target, but in a very large category for that particular school or that particular LEA, if that N was very large, then it's just like averaging and putting. Because when you do the aggregate, you're taking all students. When you're breaking it up by the student group, it's going to be based on size.
Can I add to that?
You can, absolutely.
You'll also see in your timeline that we have a date to make these equity determinations. So how many METs or how many not METs can you get on the rows and still roll up to a MET on the column is part of the calculations that we're going to bring to you at a later date, because you're right that we need to. Is it okay to have one not met for one of your groups and then your larger equity is met? So we need to set the rules on those, which we have not done yet.
Okay, thank you.
Just one question generally for Steph, and by no means do you have to answer it now or even next month, but could you just go back to the chronic absentee chart? I mean, I just continue to be astonished. I mean, just eyeballing. We might have 50, 60, 70 schools in the state where about half of the kids are chronically absent. That drops my jaw. But before that happens and I get alarmed about it, I'm just really curious, what are these schools? Who are these kids? Is it low income? Is it kids of color? Is it kids who are athletic and they're on an Olympic development team? Is it kids who had cancer and have been out of school for a long time? Or maybe they're doing homeschooling on the side before getting this is stark. And I would just like to know more before I start to get really worried about it. Maybe we should be worried, but I just didn't know that there were so many schools with so much absence. I would have guessed it was a fraction of that.
And home and hospital kids who are off for sick, they're not counted as chronically absent.
That's right.
They have an excused absence.
They would be excused.
These are kids who don't have an excused absence. So this is a big deal.
So I have two responses to that. One is that we will absolutely look, and as I mentioned, they may be very small. They may be alternative schools.
Yep.
They're generally, when you look at spreads of data, when we look at the highest performing or the lowest performing, frequently you're looking for the comprehensive school, not the school that is serving a very special small population. Not that those students should be chronically absent, but to your point, we will really look at that. And the second answer leads to the timeline, is that what we did was, for the timeline, is we said, okay, here we have a plan, and we said we're going to do an accountability system, and we said we're going to have a new report card, and when do we have to deliver? So we're in my office on the whiteboard, and I put every month down, and we looked at our accountability system and said, what do we have to do? When are we going to bring it before the state board? When is it, and when can we deliver? When are we going to get this data? And the first item that we're going to talk about, actually, in March, is chronic absenteeism and assigned scores. Because actually, we have this data, so we said this would be a good one to take a look at. So your question is very timely, and we'll bring, when we come back next month, to talk about, one is Dara's going to update on where we are with the climate survey and let you know. We're also going to take a look at actually setting those and what can we do regarding chronic absenteeism and assigned scores.
Thank you.
Great.
And so the other items on the timeline, as you can see, are, Dara mentioned about rules for equity determination. You can see that that's July because we're having the data. To Dr. Salmon's point on the assignment of scores, the reason, assignment of stars, excuse me, and the summative scores is because of getting that PARC data and making sure we have all of that. It's fast. I cannot believe that Thursday is March 1, and we have a lot to do, but we are, we're pleased even for us that we've set this timeline, and this will drive our work for the next few months.
Congratulations. The only question that I had about this, again, not a firm position, is the August bring recommendations to the board for approval of how the stars will be assigned. If I were a principal of a school, I would probably want to know for planning for my next school year how that's going to be done before August. So if there's, is it possible to move that up, or are we pretty much locked in?
Well, the problem is you won't have PARC data. I mean, you would not have the newest PARC data.
Yep.
And that's really our point. I mean, we share all of your concerns. This is a tight timeline, and we are going to be rolling things out and informing and communicating. Communication office has not only put all these materials together for us, but we have a communication plan that we're going to be talking about. If we can, you know, have any further recommendations, we will certainly bring to you. This is our best judgment, our best recommendation at the time, right now.
Great, thank you. One last question, Dr. Lee.
I just wanted to bring up this memo that Jack Smith sent on February 9th about the misalignment of middle school students who have already taken algebra and forcing them to sit through the PARC.
We'll address that later.
Okay, so I just want to make sure that there's going to be a response to that.
Yes. There will be.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for bringing it up.
Thank you.
Unless there's anything else from you? Thank you.
I'm good.
Great, thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'm just trying to keep us on schedule. Dr. Salmon, I don't think there's anything else before a break. Good?
I think we're good.
Okay. So how about like 7 minutes, folks? 11:15 on my clock. We'll get back at it. All right. Thanks, everyone.